So we're going to continue our sermon series entitled The Sermon That Turned the World Upside Down. There's been a natural progression of blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, when you're poor in spirit, you say you need God. Lord, I know I'm spiritually bankrupt. I know I'm a sinner. I know you're perfect. I need your grace. A relationship with God is built there. Then when God, the Holy Spirit, begins to come into your life, you realize that you're mourning over things that you didn't usually mourn over. You're mourning over your sin. You're mourning over social sin. You're mourning over those who persecuted for Christ's sake. Then that begins to create a new heart in you, where you become a lot meeker man, a lot meeker woman. You realize that you are not the center of the universe, and your glory is not the mission of your life, but rather God is the center of all things, and God's glory becomes now the mission of our life. And when we get that new heart, what happens is we begin to hunger and we begin to thirst for new things. We begin to have desires to live righteously. We begin to have desires to be on the mission of God. We begin to have desires to worship God and desires to devote ourselves to God. And that's where we are today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. That's Matthew 5:6. I got a Kira and I got a Kylie story. So Kylie's going to make it twice in this message because she has some good application points in this message. My daughter Kira, my youngest, does not want to eat anything that's good for her. Her hunger, she wakes up, she wants cotton candy in a bowl with milk on it. You know what I mean? She wants candy bars all day. She wants ice cream. Everything she hungers for is wrong. The results of her diet, sometimes we do the best we can. But she pleads and she intercedes sometimes for the cotton candy, and sometimes she gets it. What happens to her is she begins cartwheeling through the house. We do something called the Tower of Terror, where she jumps up on my chest and I let her fall and I catch her right before the bottom. All of a sudden that goes from Dada do that 5 times to Dada do that 55 times. She can't fall asleep. You know, don't think I let my kid just eat sugar canes from the time they get up. But the kid, when she eats sugar, she hungers for sugar. It's not good for her. Now let's talk about someone on the opposite side of the spectrum. Kylie Colburn. Kylie loves vegetables. I cannot figure out what's going on. So Joe Vec shows up in the morning. Kira gets like gum and a lollipop. Kylie gets like a turnip and a carrot. And she sits at that back table and she is absolutely the happiest girl in the world. My thoughts on Kylie Colburn is she's going to be the healthiest eater in the history of the world. So Kira noticed that Kylie has a hunger for vegetables, and she has a hunger for sugar. And she comes and says, Kylie loves vegetables, Dada. I said, I know. And she says, I like cucumbers. I remember thinking to myself, Kira, you can't like one vegetable. Like, that's not going to give you a healthy diet. So her thought was, okay, I don't like vegetables, but I like one vegetable. Give me a cucumber. I'll be healthy. That's going to be my diet. And I'm thinking, no, I'm your daughter. We're changing this diet, right? So we are like my daughter sometimes when it comes to our spiritual hunger. We make statements like, in our spiritual diet, I'm not feeding myself anything else healthy spiritually all week, every day, but I go to church on Sunday. Now, given I want everyone at church on Sunday, of course, that's a good. Cucumbers are good. But you can't just eat a cucumber one time a week and expect to be healthy spiritually. Do you guys hear what I'm preaching? Isn't that what we say to people? We say, I'm eating a cucumber. I go to church. We really think in the Boston area, I go to church once a week, just walking around like a spiritual giant, right? That's part of it. We want to gather, but God calls us, we are spiritually hungry every day, just like we are physically hungry. You have to eat every day, and you're going to eat something spiritually. That's what I want to tell you. You are hungry spiritually every day of your life, just like you're hungry. So you wouldn't block out a time on Sunday and say, man, I'm going to eat Sunday from 11 to 12. You say, man, I need to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day of my life for me to be a healthy person. It's the same with your spiritual life. we need to grow in our spiritual diet of daily being in the Word of God, daily praying, and daily being with the people of God as means of grace for us to grow in righteousness. Because God, Jesus, is preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So I want to ask you this question. What do you hunger for? What do you hunger for? Because we're dichotomous beings. So like I said, physically hungry and spiritually hungry. What do you hunger for? Many times we feed ourselves spiritually with things that aren't God, right? We try to satisfy ourselves with things God created primarily, and we find ourselves unsatisfied. So when you feed yourself with anything other than God and the gospel, you are going to be unsatisfied. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you are going to be satisfied. Second Kylie story. I'm in the back of the church before church is starting. Kara walks up to me and says, Kylie's eating a plastic spoon. I said, okay, let me check out the scene. I go over there, look, Kylie's eating a plastic spoon. It wasn't just like she bit into it and said, this is a plastic spoon. She bit into it and said, this is like a vegetable. She was chewing on a plastic spoon, gone, chewing, swallowing. I said, there's only one move I can make. Dave, Kylie's eating a plastic spoon, right? I let her know. In her mind, she was hungry. She had to eat something, but she didn't grab something that was going to give her nutrition and make her healthy. She grabbed a plastic spoon. We grab plastic spoons in our life all the time and begin chewing on plastic spoons and wonder why we are not satisfied. We wonder why we are sick. We wonder why we're discontent. We wonder why we're miserable because we're eating plastic spoons. You like how I brought the children analogies in today, the parables? Let's just talk about a few of them. Comfort. Many of us think that spiritually, if we can just get to a point of comfort in our life, then we're going to be satisfied, right? Everything's comfort. I don't go out of my comfort zone. Nothing's going to change. I'm not going to stretch myself and push myself. As long as I'm comfortable, I'll be satisfied. That's a plastic spoon. You realize that once you get comfortable, wow, I'm still unsatisfied. I'm still discontent. Or maybe this is another plastic spoon. If I can only build a reputation with people, if I can only get people to like me, if I can only get them to think I'm godly and think I'm loving and think I'm the man or the woman or think I'm that person, then I'm going to be satisfied. It's another plastic spoon, isn't it? We get to that place and what do we say to ourselves? I'm totally unsatisfied. I'm sick of wearing this costume. I'm sick of chewing this plastic spoon. Maybe if we gather enough possessions, right? Maybe we have enough possessions. We have enough pretty things in this world. That will satisfy me. What happens? We get those things and we say, I'm absolutely unsatisfied. This is a plastic spoon. We thought it would spiritually feed us. But instead, those things make us miserable and those things make us sick. My father, Joe Vec, hates to see food go to waste. This means that when I started dating his daughter and I married his daughter, I have to look at the date on every piece of food he gives me. He asked me if I wanted a bologna sandwich. I had seen that there was a bologna pack in there that was 9 days old. I looked at him and said, Joe, it's not that 9 day old bologna you're making it with. He looked at me, God's got to sanctify his heart, and he said, no, it's not that bologna. He made me a bologna sandwich with 9 day old bologna. I just want you to feel the way that it has nothing to do with the message. So there was this ice cream that was going to go to waste. And it was like about to expire. And he's preaching the gospel of this ice cream, trying to get everyone to eat this ice cream. This ice cream's unbelievable. You guys want some ice cream? Who wants some ice cream? No one wants ice cream that night. He decides that he's going to sit down and eat this whole bucket of ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. I tried to warn him. I said, Joe, don't do that. Joe has Crohn's disease too. You don't eat ice cream at 10 at night. You don't eat ice cream when you have Crohn's disease, and he's lactose intolerant. I said, Joe, that ice cream, throw it out, right? It's gonna make you sick, man. And he tells everyone this. You all know Joe Vec. He's not hiding anything. That's why I can preach it from the pulpit. He sat there, and he ate the whole bucket of ice cream. I'm not talking to him. The man was miserable, and he made sure that ice cream wasn't going to waste. Guess what happened that night? We're not going into details here, but he was sick as a dog. That's what happens to us. When we spiritually eat, other people tell us, don't eat that stuff. Get away from that stuff. That keeps making you sick. But we sit there in the dining room, and we put down that whole bucket of ice cream, and we become sick, and we become unsatisfied in our lives. What I want us to happen today is that we learn to hunger and thirst for the right thing that keeps us satisfied. Amen? So, what does it mean to be hungry for righteousness? So, there's an important theological clarity we've got to give here. As people are more from the reform stream, we believe in justification by faith. We believe in the imputed righteousness of Christ. That means when we put our faith in Jesus, His perfect righteousness, His perfect life, His perfect person is imputed on our behalf and we become innocent. All of our filthy sin is put on Jesus at the cross. It's called the great exchange. That's imputed righteousness. That means that we stand before God. None of us are going to say, man, I behaved perfectly. Man, good thing I was that good guy and could be in relationship with God. We're all going to say, man, we're sinners. Thank God that He sent His Son Jesus to impute perfect righteousness to us. That's the doctrine of the imputed righteousness of Christ. That is not the righteousness that Jesus is preaching about right here. So we live in the truth of that. There's no condemnation. We are righteous because of Jesus. We are clothed in righteousness. But He's talking about righteousness here. He's talking about right living before God. He's talking about living according to God's will. He's talking about living holy lives. See, something horrible has happened when, in our culture, when we got hold of the gospel of grace. Some people think that grace has become a license to sin. Not that grace becomes a way to empower us to change. And when we're pursuing righteousness and we fall, grace is there. You guys know I preach grace, not by works, lest no man should boast. But that does not mean that we shouldn't be pursuing righteousness. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is the empowerment to change. And when we fall, there's no condemnation in Christ. Nothing can grab us out of the hands of God. For example, if you're working on we preached on anger a couple months ago, and you said, man, I'm an angry person. I'm angry about that message. I'm angry about everything. And you said to yourself, I'm going to try to start being less angry. I'm going to allow the gospel to impact my life, and I'm going to change, and I'm going to be sanctified and become more holy. Now, say you want a good run. You know the good runs we feel like we're on? Man, I haven't yelled at anyone. I haven't been nasty. I haven't cut anyone off. I haven't done any of that stuff. But then that one day in Massachusetts, someone cut you off and they shouldn't have. All of a sudden, all that stuff comes out. You're saying things that you don't want the church to hear. Saying things you don't want your kids to hear. Right? You lose it. We all know. I don't have to go into details about that. What grace is there for is not for you to say, man, God doesn't love me anymore. Man, I'm never going to change. Man, grace is there to say, no, you're a finished work in Jesus Christ. That's how grace should work. Grace shouldn't work. You come out of us talking about anger and say, everyone's a sinner. This is who I am. I'm angry. That's why Jesus died. Deal with it. What just happened? Like, you heard grace as you can keep living in your sin without conviction, without change, without being conformed to the holiness of God. That's not what grace is for. Grace is never ending. You guys hear me on that. But even Paul said, I'm not preaching grace to you so you have a license to sin. I'm not preaching grace for you so you stay in sinfulness. I'm preaching grace to you so you can pursue righteousness and holiness and live according to God's will. And when you do that, you will be satisfied. That's one of the most important things I've learned in my Christian life. Because we've all tried to earn our salvation, right? At least I did for years of my life. Trying to earn my salvation, falling out. No, the altar call. I got to get saved again this week. Then you realize that Christ saved you once and for all. And you realize Christianity is not about taking away the things we love. It's about giving you everything that you truly love. It's not about being unsatisfied. Some people say, I enjoy my life. You're unsatisfied when it comes compared to being in Christ and following Jesus and pursuing righteousness. Christians should be the most satisfied people on the planet. Christianity is about being eternally satisfied in God. Every man desires to be satisfied. Every woman desires to be happy. And that's why Jesus is preaching this message. Blessed. We can put in happy are those. We can put fortunate are those. We can put in approved are those who hunger and who thirst for righteousness. For what? They will be satisfied. Hear me say, you will be unsatisfied when you pursue anything else but God and His righteousness. It will leave you wanting. There was a man who shared a story with me. He just recently started following Jesus. In these past holidays, he was just sharing a story with me and a few of the guys. He said, I was at holiday dinner. I was at Christmas dinner. He said, usually what I'm doing is I'm so pilled out. Or I party so much the night before. Or I take so many pills that I'm just sleeping on the couch during the whole holiday. Right? And he said, this holiday was different. He said, now that I'm following Jesus, he said, I was alert. I was sober. I was interacting with my family. He said, I used to on holidays, I wouldn't even have conversations with my family because I wasn't living right. He wouldn't talk to his family. He was unsatisfied. He was pilled out. It was like everyone was like, why are you here? He was unsatisfied. He said, now I'm following Jesus. He said, I talk with every member of my family. There was happiness in the place. He said, when it came time for the meal, you know what I did? I prayed for the meal, and everyone was blown away. And I said, what has happened to you? He started pursuing righteousness, and he realized that that's what true satisfaction is. He said, for the first time, I was out with my family, and the bill came. And he said, I paid for the bill with my money that I worked hard for. He said, I'm so satisfied. And now because I'm living rightly, I can experience these things. Do you guys understand me? We're going to be miserable. When you're living wrong, when you're running from God, when you're living in habitual sin, you are going to be miserable. But when we gladly repent to what God the Holy Spirit is convicting us of, you are going to say, man, I'm satisfied. Man, I'm happy. I didn't know I could be this happy. I didn't know I could have this kind of joy. I don't know I could have this kind of attitude. I didn't know I could have this kind of hope. When you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, you will be happy. So I hope everyone here loves the movie Rocky. I hope so. I realize one of the reasons I love Rocky is because of his hunger to get that championship. It wasn't only because of his hunger and his thirst to get that championship. It was the fact that he was hungry and he trained himself with that hunger, partnering together to obtain the championship. Like, do you guys know that? I know it's a fake story. I know. It was kind of a real Rocky you can see on Netflix. There were other hungry guys in Philadelphia, I'm sure, in the fake Rocky story I'm talking about right now. There's a lot of guys that say, I'm hungry to be the champion. I'm hungry to get there. I'm hungry to get to that place in my life. But hunger, without the training, there's no reward or satisfaction. Do you guys hear what I'm preaching right now? If you're not, you need to be hungry, but you got to reach for the food. Reformed theologians would call this a means of grace, right? We want to train ourselves for righteousness. They're saying, so I'm an electrician by day, pastor by night. And that light, you're not supplying the power. No one here can make that light go on. If that light went on, you wouldn't say, man, I'm awesome. I flipped a switch. Because it's not coming from you. The electricity's going to light. The power's not yours. You're not turning on the light. But we can flip the switch. That's the means of grace. Because I don't want to get into a system of works here. That's the work thing. Go work out. You're righteous. Everyone goes, everyone feels as miserable all week, right? But I want you to be compelled by grace. Compelled by the gospel, like Paul said, to train yourself for righteousness. It's not okay that a day goes by and we're not praying in the word or fellowship with God's people on mission. That's not okay. It's not okay for us to eat a cucumber once a week. You are going to be unsatisfied. So let's talk about, because anyone, I can call you to hunger, right? I can call you to be righteous. But if you don't know how to be trained for it, that doesn't help anything, right? We go home, man, I should be hungry for righteousness. All right, let's go sit on the couch. Let's talk about some practical ways where we can be trained for righteousness. Now, no, these aren't legalistic. But I just want to give you some framework that is helpful for you to be trained in righteousness. These means of grace. So when I say means of grace, I mean hearing God's voice through the Bible. I mean having God's ear through prayer. And I mean being with God's people through fellowship. Those are means of grace that God uses to fulfill us and to satisfy us and to make us more righteous. And I want to go through each one and talk about a practical way you can apply that to your everyday life. And we'll even put some tools on the city this week that you can use. Because let's be serious about this. First of all, in every healthy relationship, don't you have to hear from someone? Don't they have to talk to you? We need to hear the voice of God every day. How do we hear the voice of God? Primarily, through the Bible, which preaches the gospel. It's God's word where he speaks to us, where we need to hear that word daily. Wouldn't you think it weird if you were with your husband and wife and you guys just didn't talk all day? Right? Would you think that's a healthy relationship? Just walking by each other, just looking at each other. No one said anything? You need to hear the voice of God every day. And you can't just say, I'm going to read the Bible more. You need an intentional plan. Does everyone agree? We say we're going to read the Bible more. We say we're going to be in it. But we need an intentional plan. Let me give you a tool for this. You don't have to use this one, legalistic, but this one that me and my wife started using, Dave and Sarah just started using. It's the ESV Daily Bible Reading Plan online. I'll post it on the city this week. What it does, I would encourage you to do it if you're married with your husband or wife. If you're single, get an accountability partner. We're really saying we're doing this daily. You go on there, it brings you the Bible every day in the Word in 1 year. You go there, it's free, you sign up, and you just check off little portions of scripture that really don't take long. And you get the word in you every day. You got something that keeps you accountable, something that you and your wife or you and your husband or you and your friend can say, we're being serious about hearing the voice of God and about pursuing righteousness, because we know when we pursue righteousness and live according to God's will, we're going to be satisfied and it's going to bring glory to God. You need some sort of plan to get in. We'll post that on the city. But I tell you, it helps so much knowing you have something to go to. Like if you just say, I'm going to read the word, you'd be like, maybe I'll do it at 4, maybe I'll do it this time. Now you're saying, I'm going to check this off. It's been great for me and Natalie to keep each other accountable. And I'm telling you, it really is satisfying. That leads you to hearing God's voice, which we've got to hear every day, to responding to that voice in prayer. Do you realize that prayer is not initiating language? Some of us think God is a genie. We really do. I got a problem. I got to go talk to the genie. God's not a genie. You're not starting the prayer conversation. We think we are. We think we're starting the conversation. God started the conversation when he created us in his image. God continued the conversation when he sent his only son to die for us. God continues the conversation as he builds his church. He is speaking to you through the word, through God the Holy Spirit. We are responsive. Prayer is a responsive language. And when you're hearing his voice first, then you can pray and it can shape your prayer life. Do you ever realize that sometimes you pray the same thing every time? I can't keep praying for a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? How many times can I pray for that? No, but we keep praying the same thing every time. And I have earnest prayer and pray for things continually. But we need our prayer life shaped by the word of God. For example, this is what I encourage you to do. There's a Psalms in that everyday reading. It's only like 8 verses. You hear that Psalm. You hear from the voice of God. Now you respond to God's voice in your prayer life. For example, what happened yesterday, I read David was all wound up. He said, Lord, I'm accounting your wonderful deeds. I love what you've done for me. I love how you changed me. I love how you protect me. Who can count all your majesty? Guess what my prayer life looked like that day? Accounting the wonderful deeds of God and thanking God for everything he's done in my life. Do you guys hear me? Now I've heard the voice of God. Now I can respond rightly in prayer. And I want to be legalistic. You can still pray your own prayers. spontaneous. But our prayer needs to be informed by God's voice. Then there was another psalm I was reading early in the week that said, David said, Lord, judge my heart. If there's any wrong motives, if there's any unclean areas in the way I'm acting towards people, judge me and change me. Wow. You hear from God's voice. What a prayer. Father, are there areas in my life where I'm not treating people right, I'm not acting right, and I'm wrong? And if there is, change my heart in this area? See how the voice of God, the word of God, can change your prayer life. You can go right to the city, the church's social media site. There's a journal right there. I write in the journal every day. It's private. No one's going to see what you write. And I keep track of it. You see day one, day two. And I write two or three things from that scripture in prayer or in meditation on the word of God. This is so important in pursuing righteousness. You will not grow in righteousness and right living before God and living according to God's will if you're not hearing God's voice and you're not having God's ear. The third means of grace is being with God's people. What you're doing right now, being with God's people. I got to go to Miami a week or two ago. Wasn't the biggest fan. I was glad they didn't have a championship, all that good stuff. But it was so hot and muggy out there. Wow. But I tell you what was unbelievable was the conference they had down there when there was 500 plus pastors and their wives worshiping Jesus. I was blown away. I was blown away when we were all filled up this place and we were singing hymns and songs to God. And I sat down, I almost cried. I had to put on my man face. I said, I can't, not first night, I'll cry the second night. I can't be crying the first night. Every hand was lifted. Every voice was praising. And it didn't make me think those people were awesome. Made me think that the God they were worshiping was awesome. I said, I feel like I'm in a little piece of the kingdom of heaven right here. And my faith was built. When you're around the people of God, your faith is built. You become like the community that you hang around. And if you're around people who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you're going to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. If you're around the people who are satisfied, you're going to be satisfied. Just like on the other side, if you're around violent people, give it 3 months, you're going to punch someone in the face. Dead serious. If you're around people who steal, you're going to become a thief. But when you're around the people of God who are pursuing righteousness and worshiping God and living their life on the mission of God, you're going to begin to grow and be strengthened in righteousness and be satisfied. You guys hear what I'm preaching? Every time I get out of here, my faith is built. Every Monday night men's Bible study, my faith is built. Every house church, my faith is built. At volleyball, my faith will be built today. Kylie's looking for a carrot. So I want once again give you some intentional and practical things. Because I don't want to tell you just to be around God's people. I want to talk about how we practically do that as a church. This is one way we do it. It's awesome. We come together on Sundays. You know what Sundays is? It's actually an explosion of all the means of grace, right? We hear from God's word. We have God's ear and song and prayer. And we're with God's people. You come out of here like you're shot out of a cannon. Because you're around all the means of grace. It's this explosion of the means of grace of God on Sunday. On Monday night, men, if you're not doing anything on Monday night, be at the Bible study. Hear your pastor who loves you, calling you to righteousness. If you are able, be at the men's Bible study. God is doing great things there. We are calling each other out at men. There's a reason it's a men's Bible study, because things come out that women should not be hearing in there. And men are being called in righteousness. Men are being called holiness. There's a lot of what we call Greek growing around. I can't say this. I don't want to even encourage this, but yeah. So there's been a swear or two at the men's Bible study. We call that Greek. I don't encourage it, but it's a grace-filled atmosphere. Be at the men's Bible study, guys. Come on. Let's man up. Let's do this. Let's grow in righteousness. What God already has done, what he will continue to do, is amazing in men's life. Amazing. Finally, house church. We do that once a month. on a Tuesday night. We break bread, man. There's been some good grub there. We grill out. We break bread. We fellowship. We go to the Bible and we pray. Be at house church if you are able. Grow in righteousness. And you might say to yourself, well, I don't need it. You know what? Other people need you there. Other people, it's not just about you when you go to places. Other people need you. Well, I can do without it. You really can't. But to that emotion, I say, we need you there. We need you with us, growing in righteousness. We're going to try to multiply those this year. We're going to try to multiply those this year. To add and multiply. We want more house churches planted all over this place that are gathering the growing righteousness for the glory of God. So in practical ways at Restoration Road, Sundays, Monday nights, first Tuesday of every month, come and gather in fellowship with God's people and be built in righteousness in your faith. And finally, I don't know if everyone here believes in Jesus. I don't know if everyone here has put your faith in Jesus. I would encourage you to be hungry for God. You already are hungry. You already are hungry. But you're eating the wrong things and it's leaving you unsatisfied. There's only one thing that will eternally satisfy you. That is God. That is Jesus. God the Holy Spirit, the gospel. And pursuing righteousness that will leave you satisfied. Amen.